What's up, everybody, and welcome to the third episode of No Fear of the Robots. Today I'm going to discuss about two technologies that are, let's say, really linked to the idea of science fiction that people have. I'm talking about virtual reality and augmented reality, and we have seen lots of literature going around about these two technologies. We can remember whole movies about virtual worlds and something like that, and in a way virtual reality already exists in term of, let's say, at least virtual worlds. I think everybody can remember games in which you could impersonate an avatar and live a completely different life with different possibilities in a virtual world. But now, when we talk about virtual reality, of course, we are discussing about the idea of being surrounded completely by this environment, so not looking through a computer monitor, a computer screen, but to have a VR headset and possibly some other devices, some other appendices that allow you to immerse yourself in this world. Now, virtual reality, as for now, is not a thing. You name one person that you know that spend one complete hour per each day inside of a virtual real world, virtual reality world, with the headset on and so on and so forth, and tell me that this person that you know is not working on it to develop something. I mean, someone that uses it for daily tasks, okay? It's not there yet. They are still really looking for the killer application for virtual reality, and I'm not sure how far is it. It will arrive. I know that everybody wants to be the early adopter, the first one there, the one who have the edge, the advantage of being on a platform before the others, but the truth is that at the moment nobody knows what will be the real use. There are many possible applications. There's a friend of mine who's developing an idea to basically substitute a retail store, like a big discount or something like Walmart or something like that, inside the virtual world. But I don't know. I mean, it's still just an experiment. To have this going on, you would have to have people buying a VR headset that, as for now, is still costing some hundreds of euros, just to make virtual shopping. I don't see that coming so early. I mean, some years maybe. On the other hand, augmented reality, so projecting images or information over the real world, that's a thing that is already existing. Let's not even talk about, of course, military applications, because head-up display and something like that have been going on in military aviation for, well, decades now, so that is not even a discussion. What is more interesting for me about augmented reality is that it is already a thing for industrial application. It's available. There are a lot of a lot of competition about this. A lot of supplier for different possibilities about, well, I would say that the most important thing is remote assistance, remote service for industrial machines. So you can have your customer get connected through an headset or through just a simple smartphone, and you can receive in your own company the live feed of the images that the maintenance guy of your customer is seeing, and you can point directly on the screen what he needs to do and what kind of adjustment he needs to make on your machine, if there are any spare parts that he needs to buy, to order, and so on and so forth. So this is a real thing. This is actually happening. There are big companies who have been using this application for some time now. Of course, it's not yet a mature technology, but it's extremely accessible. The biggest supplier of software, and I'm talking about, of course, Apple, Google, they all have their own set of APIs to develop augmented reality applications, and this means that the cost to be able to access this kind of technology will be extremely affordable for basically any company around there. I think it's just a matter of culture if company are not yet using this kind of possibility, because it is really huge at the moment. It is I guess that the only reason why this is not more developed is maybe because customer is not willing to take care of this kind of maintenance, maybe because the machine is still in warranty, and they want the supplier to be responsible for everything. But the truth is, this is not saving any cost to them. It's actually creating a bigger struggle. Simple as it is, it's about time. Time is money, and if you have to wait for a technician to get to your location, and maybe it's half of the world away, you need to take a plane, and this for sure creates some delays in achieving the efficiency of your machine. So augmented reality is really a thing already. And I would say that it should be pumped. It should be subsidized in some way, or at least get bigger sponsorship, and people should talk more about that. Because in this day, in this world, when everybody is gaining an environmentalist conscience, and everybody's talking green, people underestimate the value of this kind of possibility. The idea of being able to make some work in telepresence, in remote assistance, would save a lot of CO2 emissions in terms of travel by car, by plane, by whatever means of transportation a technician needs to get to get to the customer plant, and not only for after sales. This could be a real thing also for pre-sales. I mean, how many professionals in engineering, in architecture, need to go to the customer site at the moment and and take measure and see what's the real situation before I can even begin to make a commercial proposal to the customer to make a job. This barrier, this and this also is it creates a limit, because unless the value of the job is big enough, it's unlikely that a professional will catch a plane or plan a trip for just a few thousand euros of revenues. He would need a bigger job to make the travel worth. Now, with the use of augmented reality, this is not a problem anymore. You can get in contact on the phone. You can have a visual video call, and you can take notes on the screen. And I get it, I know that you can already make video calls with iPhone, with WhatsApp, with whatever means that you are using. I know it's already there, but to be able to, in real time, put notes and requests and messages and point of interest on the screen during the conversation, during the phone call, during the video call, that's a complete game changer. So augmented reality is a real thing. It is there now, and I think that people just don't understand it yet, don't understand the full potential of this technology, so much more than the virtual reality that requires a lot of development and still does not have a everyday real world application. Augmented reality has it. It has it for B2B. It has it for B2C. It's a real thing, and the cost to access this kind of technology is so low at the moment that I think everybody should take this technology into consideration for their own business in some way. Figure it out, be there, take the full advantage of it. We are trying to do it, and we are trying a lot of different possibilities around this. Recently, we signed an NDA with a company here in Milan to test this technology on the field for an extended amount of time. We will be involving possibly some of our best customers if they accept the idea, because that's another point. Some customers are extremely jealous of what is happening inside their factories, but some other, I hope, will see, will foresee the advantages of this technology and will allow us to test it inside their plants. So, augmented reality, that's a real thing. My memory goes back now to a meeting that I've been here in Milan in the Singularity University chapter that has been held in Talent Garden, and they were discussing this kind of technologies, and I remember clearly, well, first of all, what struck me was that almost nothing of what the expert said was new to me. So that means that I have a pretty profound knowledge about what is the current status of these two technologies, and the other thing is that people are still talking about this as if they are things to come. So again, disruptive technologies that will eventually come in the future, but this may be true for virtual reality, but for augmented reality it's not. It's already there, do it, try it, test it. There are lots of possibilities around there. Find one for your business. I'm sure there is. So, wrap it up. Have a nice day. And talk to you soon on No Fear of the Robots. Bye.
Hey, what's up, podcast? Welcome back. Fourth episode of No Fear of the Robots. And this time, actually much sooner than I expected, I'm going back to 3D printing, because last week I have been to an interesting roundtable about this topic. It was in my old university, Politecnico di Milano. Kind of a nostalgia moment for me, but also a little bit of Stockholm syndrome. Well, I was kidnapped inside that place for about 7 years. Anyway, I thought it would be interesting to go back so early to 3D printing, because during this event that was organized by SPS Italy, an exhibition that is in Fiera di Parma, I think every year, and this exhibition is also part of the Frankfurt Messe, so it's kind of an Italy and Germany aligned together once again. Not much successful in the past, but anyway, on this topic of advanced manufacturing. So the motive, the reason why I think it's interesting, is that many of the stuff that I said in the previous episode about 3D printing turned out to be confirmed by all the experts that were present at that exhibition. Also, other interesting thing, and I will post this on my LinkedIn profile, so check it out on LinkedIn. They had a brochure that was summarizing all kind of different 3D printing technologies, so both for polymers and metal, so very interesting there. So check it out. But let's go straight back to the main points of the event. The event was focused on three markets, so automotive, aerospace, and my area of business, automatic machines, packaging machines. The point that came out very clearly is where that, first of all, as we said before, this technology is not going to take away the other manufacturing technologies. It's going to be something more that adds to the traditional way of manufacturing through molding, injection molding, machine milling, all that kind of stuff that we are used to do. This one is something completely new, and it's going to add up to those technologies, not to subtract much business. Okay, maybe there will be some overlapping, but at the end of the day, there are not many fears for people who are working in that line of business at the moment. Okay, so about what you can really do at the moment with this technology. First of all, the important thing that you have to take into consideration is that this technology is being very successful in automotive and aerospace, for the simple reason that in this market the requirement for lighter components with the same mechanical properties is becoming increasingly more required, mainly because of environmental problems and, of course, also economy problems. So if you have a lighter component that goes on an airplane or on a car, of course, you will have less consumption of fuel consumption, of course. So 3D printing is kind of giving you this opportunity to redesign critical components of the machines, of airplanes, of cars and trucks and so on, in order to achieve better and lighter components at the same mechanical properties of the traditional manufacturing technology. And this is really, at the moment, the only winning point that we can find in real-world applications. All the companies that participated at this event and that are already testing 3D printing in various forms are more or less still at the early or fast prototyping stage. Only a few of them are really already production in a production phase. One, of course, being Avio Aero, which is a GE company, but their 3D printing technology is $1 billion of investment, so it's not something that can be everywhere. And of course, aerospace is a totally different area. While if we go to our good old fashioned automatic and packaging machines, very few components that are 3D printed are actually going on working machines. And we are talking mostly about very specific components that are probably very difficult, if not impossible, to realize with traditional technologies. So at the moment in this era of operation, we are talking about impossible geometries. That is the winning point at the moment in this market. The other thing that that I noticed is that, well, of course, also in industrial automation, there is some niche application. There are some niche applications, that require the lightness of the components while upkeeping the same structural integrity of the components, and that is robotics. If you can use 3D printing additive manufacturing in order to reduce the weight of the end effectors of the robots, you can achieve higher speed, higher productivity rate. And another important thing, and this is a technology that we will discuss in a future episode of No Fear of the Robots, and that is cobots. Now, cobots, by their own nature, have a very limited payload. This is because in order to be capable and allowed to work in collaboration with the human operator without any safety protection, their inertia must be limited. And for this reason, it's very obvious why using a 3D printing technology for reducing the weight of the end effector and of some, let's say, non-structural components of the robot can be extremely useful to achieve better results with the cobots, with the collaborative robot, without getting out of the weight that the robot can handle. Okay, so this is a niche application, but I think it's going to be extremely popular in the future. And it's very interesting to me because it's a very good example of how two technologies, two enabling technologies of Industry 4.0 are capable of working together to achieve the better result. Okay, but if we go out of this area of operation, this niche situation, everybody is saying that 3D printing at the moment is not for anything that resembles mass production. It's for small series, and even inside the area of small series of components, it's not unique ones. There are strong limitations on how you can use this technology. So once again, the best advice that everybody at that conference gave is to begin to do something, to get trained in 3D printing, and therefore it is always a good idea to bring in some kind of 3D printing technologies at the lowest possible cost, with at least some decent application in your area of operation, and begin to just use it. Just begin to use it and get training, get some experience in what you can really do, because it's not so immediately intuitive for your engineers, for your drafting department, to change the way to draw parts in a way that they can be successfully manufactured using 3D printing instead of just producing components for the traditional milling technologies. It's a completely different way to look at things. So to wrap this up, it was an extremely good experience to me. I wish to thank SPS Italy, Messe Frankfurt, and of course my old slavery place, the Polytechnic of Milano, for this conference, for this round table. It was extremely useful and informative, and I wish I could go back again for other topics. I hope they are going to do that. Thanks a lot, and talk to you soon on Not Your Opera. Bye.